Welcome to the Now Believe podcast.
Just make him welcome in every part of you, in the pain, in the disappointment, in the hope, in the longing. Thank you, Lord. Just fill us with your light, Lord. Fill us with your love. Thank you that you love each of us so much, just where we're at tonight, individually, just where we're at. You're hopelessly in love with each of us, just where we're at. And thank you that you're deeply excited as well about each of our lives. And that Romans 8:28 is a springboard from this evening onwards, and we choose to step into the now moment right now. We choose to lay hold of the kingdom of God. We choose to make you our God, even like David prayed in Psalm 63 verse 1, God, you are my God. We put you in your rightful place right now, and we say, you are God, we're not. And we hallow your name in this place. We hallow your name over our lives. We hallow your name over our families. We hallow your name over our workplace. We hallow your name over our careers right now. And we thank you that if God be for us, who dare be against us? And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places over us and over our families, over the generations to come. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that grace. And we step into it. We tap into it. We lay hold of it. Greedy, like greedy children, Lord. Like greedy children. Jealous for this nation. Jealous for your love. Jealous for what you did. So thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Come and speak to each of us. Set us on fire, Lord. Like Krista was saying, fire of love, fire of passion. Hallelujah. You are a consuming fire, and it's your love. It's your love. It's your love. It's your love. Thank you that you're even filling people right now, God. Thank you for vision being released even in people's minds and imaginations right now. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for affirmation as well for some. I'm going to just read to you from, you can stay in that place. Stay in that place. You can open your eyes. You can do whatever. I'm just going to read to you from Acts chapter 4. Lord, speak to us by your word, I pray, in a fresh way. Okay, a little bit of introduction. Peter's been locked up. In Acts chapter 4, this is one of his first sessions in prison. He's just come out. And then he says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He's addressing the rulers. Okay, he's addressing the elders. He's addressing the government. He's addressing the prime minister. He's addressing the big cheeses, okay? If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, okay, there's just been a healing and they're accusing him, let it be known to you all. Okay, we're at Acts 4:10 if you want to follow. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. We're going to come back to places like that. They realized they'd been with Jesus. What does that mean for us? Who's been with Jesus today? And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Okay, they were speechless. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do about these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. This is probably going to be coming into our lives in differing degrees, this kind of scenario. So they, but Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Now there's so much more in Acts 4, and I'd love to read on, but we'll stop there for the moment. It's good to be here. It's a real privilege to be here to share a little bit about my life, my walk with the Lord. To give you the sort of abridged version, grew up a Catholic, very much nominally kind of ritual, was confirmed, did my first confession, all that sort of thing. High church. Had a sort of belief in God, innocent kind of belief in God that I think most children have, but it was slowly kind of stamped on, really, by the opinions of the world, by unbelief, really, by lack of seeing anything spiritual or powerful in church. And I just got to a place where I just thought, this is kind of irrelevant. It's that whole, this is irrelevant to my life. And when I was about 15, started to just ignore church, be unimpressed by it, and as a result try and fill the hunger, that God-given hunger, with other things. That kind of fast forward to post-university, tried lots of different gods with a small g. Nothing really spiritual as such, no other religions, but looking for spiritual answers in the wrong places, really. Drugs, pleasure, sex. You know, again, we have this yearning for intimacy, and David talks about this in Psalm 27. You know, our heart cries out for the living God, and that's the same for every human being, because we're all made with that God-shaped vacuum, and unless we fill it with him, we'll have to fill it with something else. We're just we're an altar, really, just waiting for a God to sit on. And the question is, which one are we putting there? And as you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that Israel struggled with idolatry all the time, worshipping different gods, Baal, etc. And we're the same. So for me, you know, there was money, there was popularity, there was career, all those sorts of things that I was kind of fighting to establish as a worthy God, as a God worthy of worship. Of course, none of them worked, and I was left hungry. Age 26, I revisited the whole God thing and said to God on November the 22nd, 2002, I said, "God, if you're God, I want an encounter with you. I don't want a religion. I don't want a ritual. I must have an exposure to the supernatural God of the Bible." And that's what I got. Confessed my sin, the Holy Spirit filled me. The power of God, the love of God flooded my entire being. I almost fell to the ground. I started crying, floods of tears, which was embarrassing. I didn't want to do that. I was a very proud person. I still fight with that enormously. And, I didn't want to be seen to be even inviting Jesus into my life. Such was the issues of my heart. I felt a hand on my shoulder, there was no one behind me, twice, as this physical hand, as this power and this fire filled me. It was, I was left in absolutely no doubt that the God of the universe had visited me, and that I was his, that I was loved, that he'd known me all the time, every thought, because I said this prayer even in my mind. I didn't even confess it out loud, because I didn't want people to see I was praying. Hand hit me twice, fire filled me twice, and I walked outside to try and take all this in and walked into a new world, which was God's world, and my life was changed forever, for eternity. Now that is called being born again. Amen. That is John 3 verse 3, John 3 verse 5, John 3 verse 7. John 3 verse 3 is what? You can't, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. 5 is you cannot enter. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit. 7 is you must be born again. So Jesus makes the point to an intellect, Nicodemus, who's a religious man, a good man, a devout man. Flesh gives birth to flesh. We were all born in the flesh, were we not? Out of our mother. We had no choice, did we? We had no choice. We were just born. But we have another birth which we have to go through, which is into eternity, a spiritual birth where spirit must give birth to spirit. Or you're not entering the kingdom of God. You can't see it. And which is why Jesus says you must do it. We've got to get a lot better at talking about the fact that we must be born again. We've got to deal with the whole social stigma of born again Christians or whatever it is. Or that, you know, I don't need to be born again. I can be a Christian or I can follow Christ. Or, you know, the slightly more palatable, less offensive terms. We need to establish in this country a new birth theology. We need to be saying to our friends who are so-called Christians, when did you get born again? How was it for you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Again, part of the Bible, Acts chapter 2, a vital part of our Christian walk that Jesus died for. It's no good to shortchange him, is it? I don't want to shortchange Jesus of his death on the cross. I want him to have his reward. And actually, when we get his reward, we live life in its abundance. John 10:10. That's the only place we have it. I was having a discussion last night with this whole concept of sacrifice. Yes, there is a place of sacrifice. Sacrifice is a step beyond convenience. The kingdom of heaven does what? It suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There's that place where we're in a spiritual battle. Are you with me?
Yes.
You're in a spiritual battle. You know, we don't war against flesh and blood, but there are spirits, there are demons, there are principalities, powers, rulers. Okay? In this room there are lots of angels. And there are some other spiritual entities, not necessarily in the room, but that we fight against. And we have to establish this new birth. We have to lay hold of the full reward of the cross to have this life in abundance. We have to be hungry. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's saying, happy you'll be. He's saying, blessed you'll be if you hunger. If you don't have hunger, ask for it. Pray for it. Because actually, it's even by his grace that we get hunger. Okay? Now, if you don't have hunger, you need to watch out what you're hungry for, because it's probably idolatry. In fact, it is. Now, this is a strong word, but it's a word that will bless you, because blessing comes out of hunger, as Jesus said, and he's the one who knows the truth, isn't he? He is the truth. His word is entirely the truth. This Bible is the truth. The whole thing is the truth. The whole thing. I believe the Bible, every verse. I'm proud of it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it. I stand on it. And that's the end of the conversation. If people want to have a problem with the Bible, that's their problem, because it is a problem.
Amen.
They're fighting with God, because this is his word. The entirety of his word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 160. John 17:17, your word is truth. His word stands forever. It doesn't fade away. You can't take one jot, one tittle away from it. Every single part of this book is truth and will be proven so at the day of judgment. And literally, it's the truth. Take it literally, except when God forces you to find some symbolism in it. Take it literally. Okay? And don't be ashamed of that. God's very simple. God wants to appeal to the simple in mind, the simple intellects. He doesn't want us to have to find all this symbolism in it. He didn't design it for that. He gave it to us to take like a child and just follow it as it says. And when you follow this and you don't twist it, you'll see miracles. You'll see it happen. How do we get onto the Word of God? That's That's ironic. The new birth. This is burning inside me at the moment. I'm an evangelist. To go back to when I was born again, very quickly, I mean, we must all be evangelists. God is raising up evangelists in every single one of us, because 97% of the country needs saving. That's a conservative estimate.
Don't think it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be people right here.
It's 12 people in this room. No. Honestly, it's so exciting. Do you realize that you have the most important job in the world? Do you realize what your job is? You're a preacher of the gospel. All of you. If I had dog collars, I'd give you all a dog collar right now. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord God is upon each of you if you're born again. And if you're not, we can pray for you at the end. It's a transaction, a heavenly transaction. I'm not ashamed of it. If someone hasn't been born again, they're not sure of it, we just pray it. If they want to be, the Spirit of God is convicting them. We just go through the guidelines in here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because he's anointed you to do something. Not just to go to church on a Sunday or even a pastorate on a Tuesday. He's anointed you. The anointing is the power of God released through your life to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel, caruso, preach, proclaim, formally, outwardly, in public. Not apologize, not try and explain away. Proclaim it in truth, because it's God's gospel. We don't have to apologize for the word of God. You're all preachers, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. This is for you. Now, some of you might be saying, well, I think it's for Jesus or it's for Nicky Gumbel, but I'm not sure it's for me. I understand that. I felt that for a long time myself until I had revelation on this, which I hope will be imparted to you tonight. John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, everything that Jesus was sent to do by the Father, so I send you, he said. So you're all little Jesuses, you're all little Christians. You're not pew fillers, you're not apologizers, you're not the tail, you're the head. You're a preacher of the gospel, that's your job. And it's the most important job in the earth, in for all eternity. It will be looked back as the most honorable privilege that you had to save eternal souls. Hallelujah. Should just have a praise break right there. Let's just receive the Lord right there, because that is awesome. I'm not just here. I pray to God I'm never here just to fill half an hour of a talk for someone's prayer group. I'm here to be changed myself, and I'm here for lives to be changed at whatever stage they've got to, so that heaven is released on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was the prayer he left us with. That means whatever is not in heaven should not be on earth. That is our goal, that is our ceiling. Every sickness go, every damned soul go, every work of darkness go, everything we lay hold of until we receive it and we see it come to pass. We call it forth out of heaven into earth, in our friends' lives, in our families' lives. We go around carrying, brokering heaven. First and foremost, the salvation of every soul, because hell is real. I told you, I believe the whole Bible, and I believe the whole Bible, it makes me shudder. And God, in fact, says that. He says, you should quake at my word. We should never handle the word of God liberally. We should never handle the word of God lightly. It's his word. How would you like it if when your friends play around with your words to other friends, misrepresent you? It's horrible. And so we have this incredible opportunity. I mean, it quickens me. It gives me such excitement that I'm a broker every day of my life of the most valuable thing available to mankind. Terrifyingly valuable, beautifully valuable. It's holy, it's other than, it's set apart. God is holy. We must fear God. And when we fear God, we're loosed and freed from the fear of man. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. You see, we were lost. We were orphans. I didn't know God. I was lost. I was leading a life of bondage, of futility. And every human being is lost if they don't know Jesus Christ. They're lost. I know I'm teaching you things you already know, but it's good to encourage in the word. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10. And until he had done it, until he said, I finished what I started, John 19:30, he said, it's finished. He gave up his spirit. The moment he died on the cross, he finished the job he had to do to save the lost. We need to talk about the fact that we're saved. It's one of those words that possibly people in the Anglican Church, the Catholic Church, or any denomination, in fact, sometimes have a problem saying. Perhaps it's too dramatic. Perhaps it's too, I don't know, Pentecostal, whatever it might be. They say, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean anything to most people now, as you probably know. Because we're so post-religious. We're post. We've lived in a religious spirit under religious principality in this country for so long. What does that mean? That means religion is form and ritual without power and without relationship. We've had a form of godliness, but we've denied its power. That's how Paul describes it. Ritual. You know, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus called these people hypocrites. Now, I'm still a hypocrite. Until I'm glorified, I always will be. God help me. Because I can't, I still sin. That's what hypocrisy is ultimately. But I'm far less of one, and I don't want to be one. I want to honor God with my heart, and I want the words, you know, that come out of the abundance of my heart to be true, and to be life-giving, and to honor, and to worship God with a pure heart. But we've come out of this religious stronghold. So when you say I'm a Christian, it means nothing to people. In fact, to many people in the church who possibly aren't, I'm talking about the Spirit-filled church. They possibly don't know what a Christian is. Are you hearing this? Because you only form theology on what you're taught. And actually, I've been around a few churches, and I've had to learn a lot of my theology through podcast or through reading the Bible and saying, God, what God's just taught me. Part of my testimony, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I was turned down by the church, Anglican Church, to be a leader. And it's fascinating. I won't go into it because I love the church and I bless the church. And I need to tell you that up front. But I'm speaking prophetically here, so there's going to be a bit of tension, but I need you to know that I honor the church, and HDB is my church, and I love the leaders, and they've given me an awesome amount, but I'm not talking about them at this stage. I'm talking about the wider Anglican body who judge the leadership, the future leaders. But here's my point. There was a couple of leaders in the panel who rebuked me for things that are just in the Bible, really obvious things as well, to do with salvation, to do with spiritual darkness, spiritual bondage. I've traveled around India, I've traveled in different places, I've cast out demons, I've healed the sick, you know, Matthew 10, 7 and 8, it's our job. And some of others have done that here as well, and I'm sure we've all got great stories. So I've seen demons cast out of people, I've seen God move in power, I've seen people set free from spiritual bondage, I've seen them get born again in India, in Africa, different places. So when I'm telling my story in an interview for church, and they tell me that it's not true, and they get offended by that, and possibly use that against my selection process, although that's irrelevant because I don't believe God called me ultimately to be there. It's very telling about the church we are surrounded by. What am I saying here? What's my point? I'm interested, as I know you are, in getting people into heaven. So what's our blueprint? It's this. It's not necessarily what you hear from other Christians. And Krista made the point, and I'll make it again. This has got to be our love with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus is the Word, and this, God and His Word are the same. They're the same. They're inseparable. And married with the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, this is where the power lies. So when people are asking, you know, what is it that, you know, has happened to you? Why are you, I don't know, fanatical, or why has your life changed? Maybe these are unbelieving friends. You say, well, I got saved. Maybe you haven't said that to friends before. I got born again. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. My life was changed. I was spiritually reborn. What do you mean, you were Dom, you were spirit? What are you talking about? This sounds really weird. Well, it is quite weird. It's ultimately the most powerful, profound thing that can happen to a human being. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. The Spirit of God lives within me right here. And as we start to speak about these kinds of things, we become the burning witness that we need to be, the sort of witness that Peter was. How long do I have left? Peter said this. I love this. And we live in a nation. I mean, I don't need really to remind you, and I don't want to talk about the climate we're in that much, because it's always good to think and talk about things that are lovely and pure and you know, and etc. and of good report. But you know, we live in a culture that is immersed in relativism. Pluralism. What do I mean by that? I mean, you know, all roads lead to the top of the mountain. Intellectualism, rationalism, all the isms. Admit you're getting a lot of isms here, but you know what I'm talking about. To say that Jesus is the only way to God is offensive. When you live in a city that has such a cosmopolitan religious demographic. And here's what Peter says. Let's just go back to it. Acts 4 verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. One of my favorite verses, two verses together. The boldness of Peter. He's just been in prison. He's come out. He's likely to be put back in there for saying that and possibly killed. Does he care? No. Why? Because he's been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. You don't need a training, you don't need an education to do this. They realized they'd been with Jesus. They marveled. The world needs to marvel. The world, this city, the leaders, the rulers need to marvel. We've got a long way to go before we make them marvel. But what they've got to see is boldness that makes them marvel. Boldness that says, that guy is willing to die tonight for what he just said, and I'm scared of that. There was fear of God coming off them. There was holiness coming off them. They were so set apart for Jesus that they didn't care about the outcome. Nor is there salvation in any other name. There's no other name written under heaven by which we what? Must be saved. We must be... come to a place in our lives where we say to our friends and to our family, you must be saved. You must be saved. Saved. Saved from what? The wrath of God, John 3:36, that's coming upon all mankind. Why is it good to acknowledge the fact that God is angry? Because he's a just God. A God of love must be justice. He must carry out justice if he is to be a loving God. It requires that. And Jesus took the wrath of God on himself. There's a wonderful verse in Revelation where it says he trod the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. What a picture. I love that picture. This image of Jesus treading, almost quenching the wrath of God. This anger, this burning fierce anger that God has against sin. Why is he angry at it? Because he loves. And he hates to see his children and his people crushed and raped and murdered and robbed by Satan through sin. And he is just and holy, and he must punish sin to stay in line with his nature. He must punish it. We will all come away from Judgment Day going, oh my goodness, that is the fairest thing I've ever seen. It will be so holy and beautifully fair and terrifyingly fair. Because he is just, he knows all things. You cannot have perfect justice without omniscience, which God has. He's the only one who can be perfectly fair. So why is it such good news? Well, we're totally covered. We are totally saved, covered, cleansed by the intercessor, the mediator of all time, Jesus Christ, who mediates, intercedes for us, gets in the way, takes the wrath of God. When we get to Judgment Day, Jesus will take it all. We'll probably see it. It'll probably be some kind of I don't know what it'll be. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. You know, have a think about it. But I mean, you know, this is the day we should be living for. It's not far off. Life is a vapor, flesh is grass. How quickly does this time go? It goes quickly. And we're going to be there, and the wrath of God's going to be sent, and Jesus can take it all for us. And he's going to come in and receive your reward, you good and faithful servant. Well done. We live for that day. Eternal reward never fades away, never goes. This is our purpose. This is your purpose from this evening onwards. If you haven't had it, have it tonight. Be changed tonight. But how were Peter and John changed? Not just by a talk, not just by a word, not just by a preacher who's getting overexcited. And this is the most important thing I'll say this evening. They had been with Jesus. First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Be with him. Hang out with him. Spend time with him. If you haven't had a touch from God for a while, get one. Learn to spend time with him as a discipline. Sit in the morning and say, God, you are my God. I need you to come. Get up earlier if you need to. Half an hour earlier. Learn to love God. Learn to love his presence. Receive his love and then love him back. What I try and do, I mean, I can't get out of bed unless I spend time with the Lord. I can't do it, personally. I'm so oppressed. I'm so depressed. I'm just struggling through the night. Just, not always, but a lot of the time. And I'm just crawling out of bed and I'm just, Jesus, come, 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 Holy Spirit. Getting in the shower, trying to pray in the shower, and then I get gradual breakthrough. Then I sit down at my desk and then he starts to come in more power. And then eventually I'm going, oh, I love you, God. I just love you so much. And, you know, that's a good morning for me. Because we love him because he first loved us. And we spend that time with him. Then we get renewed in our mind, and this stuff starts to come more real. We start to get bolder. We start to see greater fruit in our lives. We start to see people being blessed. We start to be freed in our lives a bit more. It takes time. I'm being freed of stuff slowly, but I boast in my infirmities and my weaknesses and my insecurities, because in my weakness I'm made strong. But I see God freeing me of things. I see and taste that the Lord is good. You know, as that word of God abides in me, that truth sets me free from stuff. Sets me free from the fear of death, from the fear of man, from the idolatry of money, from the idolatry of reputation. These different things, I get changed. And I start to stack up more for heaven. They marveled and they realized they'd been with Jesus. The boldness that came on those two apostles, the boldness that will come on any of you, the anointing, which is the power of God released through you. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit released through you, comes by spending time with him. It rubs off on you. It's like it just smears off on you. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. You felt him earlier. He's just there and he just dwells on you. And you feel his power and his presence and his love, and he changes your heart. And you become all that God has called you to become. You become that nation changer. You become that world changer. You become that absolutely imperative witness to this lost nation. He loves every single one. He wants all to be saved, that none should perish, it says in the Bible. He wants all of them. He wants that his house be filled, Luke 14. Filled. Filled. Imagine the weeping that goes on in heaven, because we don't know who we are. Oh my goodness me. Oh my goodness gracious me. Because we don't realize that we have Romans 8:11, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, living within us. We are the same Jesus. We're sent in the same way that there are 20 Jesuses in here. Ready and prepared to raise the dead, to change and turn the world upside down, it says in the book of Acts. 12 of them, they turn the world upside down. All in this room, and I'm laying hold of that truth. I don't care what anyone says to me, what any preacher says to me, what any friend says to me, what any family member says to me. I care what this says to me, because this is the truth. What are you measuring and your life on? What are you agreeing with? What you agree with, you empower. Whatever word you agree with, whatever opinion you agree with, you just empowered it and made it your Lord, but you bind it to you. That's what Chris was talking about, confessing truth. Get into a habit. Get a word from the Lord, something that just goes, oh, that's from the Lord. And then confess it. Learn it. Learn where it is in the Bible. slowly but surely, God is gracious. He'll give you the grace. Whatever in your job, maybe you'll have it on your screensaver or whatever it is. You've got this, I'm sure, happening already. But start to get tooled up, you know, with that weapon, with that sword. So that as you confess it over your life, you become it. Because it's your food. You know, Jesus said, you know, you don't just live on your salads and your couscous and your sushi. You know, you live on that word, that bread that comes from heaven, that manna, Matthew 4:4. That's what makes you, creates you as a spiritual being. That's what turns you and changes you. You know, just as a Big Mac or lots of Big Macs will make you fat and spotty, possibly. You know, if you start eating the Word of God, you're going to become more and more like Jesus. It's a spiritual law. God is bound to his spiritual laws. He's bound to his truth. He's got to honor his Word because he is his Word. So as you start to invest and make God your God and make the Word of God your benchmark and your standard, nothing less, nothing more, it says in Deuteronomy 12:32. He says, don't add to my word, don't take away from it. What I command you today, do. By the way, he commands us because he loves us. Did you know that? I think it's Deuteronomy 10. He says, I've commanded you for your own good. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact we need to fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Because by the way, we're commanded to fear God for our good. It's in the Bible as well. It's not because he's a nasty God who wants to make us fear. It's because he knows that if we don't fear him, we'll fear something else. So we must ask for the fear of God every day, zealously. It says, be zealous for the fear of the God all the day. Proverbs 27:13. Be zealous. How many zealous people do you know? Encourage each other to be zealous under the grace of God, not striving, but receiving his love passionately in a sort of hungry way, and then being zealous, because zeal is that passion. It's that loving heart after the true lover. You know, the devil will say to you, don't be zealous. He'll come to you in different people. Don't be, you're too zealous. You're over the top. Calm down a bit. Jesus. The passion of Christ. The zeal of Christ. He wants hot people. He doesn't want lukewarm. And he will vomit lukewarm out of his mouth. Why? Because he's a lover. And because it's wretched to him. He's a passionate lover. I mean, those of you who've been out with people or been in relationships or are married, you know, you'll know that if when people are sort of indifferent towards you, it's a nightmare. And God is our husband. Jesus is our husband at the wedding feast. And we need to be in love with him. And if we're not, we need to say, God, help me. I've been cold. I've been lukewarm towards you. I've been indifferent. I need your heart. I need you. Set me as a seal on your heart. You know, make me a lover again. Because it's by his grace. But we still need to make that decision because we have free will. We have free will. That's a big word right there. We have free will. I love Matthew 11:12 because the implication of it, kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. It's not given to you. Your destiny is not just given to you. God will speak prophetically into your life through the Bible and through other people. But you've got to do it. You've got to lay hold. You've got to position yourself. God, you are my God. Come and fill me. Let's have fun. Let's do it today. Let's really do it. I just rejoice in this day. You've made this day. Let's get on and do it. Suffers violence. Why? Because I'm going to end here. And we're going to have some prayer. And so we're just going to ask the Lord to come. And we're going to lay hands on some people and get them filled up with the Holy Spirit. Let the fire of God come on some people. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we just want to make that available. That's the second that's the baptism, you know, that some people just don't get. I didn't have it for 1 year of being a Christian. Thank God I didn't go longer than a year. Some people have gone years. Some people are, well, they're church leaders and they're not saved. Through ignorance and pride and arrogance and idolatry, all sorts of sin. I mean, God help us all. But a year after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, my life was completely changed again. There's a different baptism. You remember, you see, Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon the disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Second baptism, you see. Some people haven't had that. It's great if you haven't had it. We can pray for it tonight. If you haven't got the gift of tongues, let's pray for it tonight. Yes. Wonderful toy of heaven. It's a toy. It's a tool. It's a springboard. It's gorgeous. You know, it'll take you places. Pray in tongues every day if you do have it. And Jesus said in Luke 16:16, he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now. What did he say? He said, the kingdom of heaven. He said, everyone is pressing into the kingdom. Again, what is that saying to us? The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone's pressing into it. Are you pressing into the kingdom? Is my question to you, to leave you with. Why do you have to press into it? Because it's a battle. There's devils, there's demons, there's antichrist spirits. If you're not born again, you are owned by the father of lies. This is from the Bible. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, said, your father is the father of lies. Listen to Jesus. I just love Jesus sometimes. Let's get that revelation. He's talking to the religious leaders, okay, who worship Jehovah. And he's saying, your father is the devil. Let's just get some perspective on that for a second. This is our God. This is Jesus who we worship. Look at Peter. Look at the witness he had. Jesus didn't survive very long. Neither did Peter. How long are you going to survive? How long am I going to survive? Are we trying to contain our lives and keep them? 72.4 years, please. A couple of great-grandchildren, if I'm lucky. Or do we want the priceless? God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live as a martyr. Difference. I love that about Jesus. You know, can you imagine you're at a dinner party and you say, your father is the devil? You see, you're laughing because you're like, no, I can't imagine that. I would never do that. Well, maybe you would. Jesus did it. Okay, I'll give you a bit more perspective. Going up to a church leader or even the Archbishop of Canterbury and accusing him in front of all his fellow leaders that his father is the devil, the father of lies, and you don't know God. Now, Jesus had revelation from the Father about that, the Father of truth. So he brought a word of truth as a rebuke. I'm just trying to give us some perspective about what we need to be in this hour, because if we don't do it, no one's going to do it. No one's going to do it. And that was said earlier by Kristen. I just want to end, actually, with another scripture, which we had, actually. It was preached from the pulpit in HDB the other day. I absolutely love it. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I want you to realize how precious you are to God, not as an evangelist or a preacher, initially as a child of God, but secondly, you are precious because you carry truth that will affect people's eternal destinies. Now then, you are an ambassador for Christ. You're a preacher, you're an ambassador, you're a child, as though God were pleading through you. Okay, he's pleading through you. He's pleading by his cross through you. And Paul says this, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Those that are owned by the devil, they are his, they are captured when they die, their bodies, soul and spirit will be dragged to hell because that's who owns them. To everlasting torment and destruction and separation from God the Father. Eternal, it's eternal. Okay, the Bible's very clear about this. It's eternal, it's tormenting, it's there's no rest. It doesn't bear thinking about, but it does to the degree to which we respond in the way that Jesus did to the importance of our call. I'm not interested in living life as a hypocritical Christian, a false Christian. I have a responsibility as a steward of the Word of God, so do you, to be truth tellers in an age of lies. I have to get a fresh understanding of what it means to be born again, of what it means to be saved, of what it means to be a Christian. I have to have a revelation from God, because we're all going to meet him and give account. And he loves us. Hear this. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Holy Spirit. Just encouragement. All you have is a father who encourages you, picks you up, encourages you, sends you, anoints you, gives you favor, goodness, mercy, following you every single day, angels around you. That's who you have, an encourager. But we must fear him, and we must honor his word, and we must go out and do it. And you must say to yourself, I accept the call. Change me, make me, mold me, use me as your ambassador, so that I can go up to someone and be an be someone who implores those around them to be reconciled to God. Because it's such a short time, and eternity is everything. Leonard Ravenhill said this: this is just the dressing room for eternity. Your life is just the dressing room for eternity. Your life is simply a compilation of preparation for eternity. And we must ask ourselves the question, Leonard Ravenhill also said this: is our life worth Jesus dying for as it stands? Should we stand and pray? Thank you, Father. Father, I just want to thank you so much that we are sons of the Most High God, and daughters. We are sons, we are children of the Most High God. And I pray, Father, that you would release that revelation deeper in every single soul right now, in every single mind, God. Just let that revelation of burning love, of pride. This is my daughter, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased with. Who I love and who I'm well pleased with. He loves you. Thank you, Father, that you love us. You love us. You love us. And you have plans for us. They're good plans. They're good plans. And Father, I pray for a fresh release of hope right now in Jesus' name. A fresh release of faith, God, where there's been weariness and despair, God. I pray, Father, that the fire of your love just come and reignite dreams, Lord. I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in the hope of the calling that each of us have, be released, Lord, right now. I pray for a season of dreaming, Lord. I pray for a season of revelating, Lord, about what people's futures are, God. Lord, that we would really run, God, with you. We would run this race that you've set out before us, Lord. Even before the foundation of the earth, Lord, you've set each of us a task that is bespoke, that is vital, Lord, that is for that we are absolutely vital to the course of history in this nation, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for a breakthrough, Lord, a breakthrough anointing in people's lives this evening, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for fresh zeal and fire and passion, Lord. Just start to really pull on heaven right now.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Now Believe podcast. We'd love to see you at the Growing in the Supernatural course. For more details, please email talk@nowbelieve.com.